Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of APIs Unplugged. My name is Matt McClarty. I'm the global leader of API strategy for MuleSoft. And once again, as always, delighted to be joined by Mr. Mike Amundson. Mike, what's up?
Hey, I'm happy to be here as usual, holding forth here in Research Central in Kentucky, in my basement next to the dryer. I'm having a good time. It's wonderful weather, and it's spring is here.
Awesome. Well, you reminded me that I didn't close the furnace room door, but I do have my phone unplugged, so We're all set for a clean audio session here.
Excellent.
Here in Vancouver, sunny Vancouver today. So today's topic is one that I think is exciting for, you know, all of our listeners, different perspectives. As we're seeing more and more companies kind of enter this API economy, this digital economy, we're really going to talk about platform businesses and how APIs can really help scale a platform business. And in fact, looking at a particular business whose products are primarily APIs in Agora. So we're delighted to have Virginia Liu, who is the SVP of Marketing and Ecosystems at Agora, joining us. Virginia, welcome to APIs Unplugged.
Great, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So this is something that we always like to do on the show because I think the API space, what used to be a very technical term and a technical concept, as it becomes more and more prominent in the business world, we're seeing all sorts of backgrounds and stories in terms of how you get involved in APIs. So what was your path to getting into this marketing and ecosystems leadership role for Agora?
Yeah, it's a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. I mean, with Agora for about 3.5 years now, and before then, I was at Microsoft. I've done a variety of roles in marketing and strategy at Microsoft. I would say my deepest exposure to the API world was my last job at Microsoft. As the head of a developer program for Windows, for Windows Phone specifically. And that was in 2011. Microsoft was deep in the battle with iOS and Android for mobile market share. And it was very aggressively recruiting mobile app developers to build apps for the Windows Phone, because you're not going to buy the phone unless there's apps that you can use. Now, as it turned out, that the market really just can't support three mobile ecosystems. And so eventually Microsoft gave up on a mobile. I think you're all familiar with the story.
Yep.
But through this job and the opportunity to work with so many mobile app developers, I realized how much I really enjoy working with them, with the developer audience. I think their creativity really inspires me on a daily basis. And also realize how important it is to a platform company to win the hearts and minds of developers as essential to the success of the business. So I think that's when I really started to really like the API business. And then I had the opportunity to meet with the founder and CEO of Agora, Tony Zhao, in 2017. Mm-hmm. And he painted a picture of a real-time internet. In fact, that's his word. He's trying to build a business, it's an API business that democratized access to voice and video, real-time voice and video, which is really hard to do. So that was a very compelling vision, and I was sold immediately and joined the company to run developer marketing and ecosystems. And the rest is history.
Yeah, so you mentioned platform as a business, and for people who aren't really familiar with Agora and what your company does, and can you just describe the products and the services and what it is that Agora really does?
Sure. In the simplest term, Agora is a pioneer in real-time engagement platform that allows developers to add voice, video, and interactive live streaming into any applications they're working on. Now, ultimately, we enable developers to create meaningful human-to-human connections in a wide variety of use cases. And that's not just limited to video conferencing, but vary from social gaming, e-commerce, online classroom, or telehealth, and just so much more. There's really no limit in terms of what you can do with the technology.
Yeah, so again, really, people may not even know it, but they may be using Agora. they may, no matter what kind of application they're using, right? So there, it's not just a matter of it's a video platform or it's a audio platform. It's really all these integrations and all sorts of stuff, right? That's really what's really going on. So that's got to be super, super challenging, right? And just in terms of breadth and depth of what you've got to be doing there. So, I mean, is it just one product or do you have a series of products? How does it actually, how does it look to, say, a subscriber or a partner?
Yeah, we have a suite of products. So if you think about the core building blocks, that's voice, video, live interactive streaming. We also have recording. You know, it's really all the things that you need to create this real-time engagement experiences. So those are core building blocks. But then on top of it, there are, I would say, some add-ons and also extensions that build by third-party ecosystem. So they, for example, they're third-party that build face filters or build content moderation. So those are technologies that we don't necessarily provide or specialize in, but we work with other technology providers who kind of put it all together in the easy-to-use way to our end customer, which are mostly developers.
Awesome. I think you know, we were mentioning before we started recording, right? We talk so much about ecosystems on our podcast. I wonder sometimes if you know, we do the analogy to death, but the fact that you've got ecosystems in the title and just describing how the ecosystem is contributing to the platform business, it's really interesting. Now, Mike and I are you know, been kind of studying business models in the API space and API related industries. And, you know, so much of it is about defining, delivering value, exchanging value, and creating value. You know, and within, I would say, which is probably, well, certainly after the pandemic, a space around real-time communication that's probably becoming more crowded. What is Agora's unique value proposition? You know, in lean terms, we say the unfair advantage. What is the special sauce of Agora?
I would say that the special sauce of Agora is really our network. We call software-defined real-time network. It's basically a global distributed virtual network overlay on top of the public internet. Now, the internet, actually, a lot of people didn't realize, actually is really not designed for real-time. It was really best effort attempt. So when you need to have a real-time engagement, the public internet is really not reliable. So our solution to this problem actually is building this virtual network, provide lots of point of presence that's very, very close to the end user, with over 200 data centers around the world. So allow us to actually, you know, connect with the end user, and then be able to route their voice and video traffic to the other end as quickly as possible. And that's why actually we build this network and allow all the different endpoints to talk to each other to figure out what's best route. On average, the routing of traffic on our private network is about twice as fast as the public internet. And that's why, you know, the video and voice quality is so much higher, because that's what you need for have a real-time engagement.
Well, so that's really fascinating. So that is a really, really good point, that you're working on a network that was not designed for real-time, and yet you're beating so many people to the, you know, to the punch on that, which is really quite amazing. One of the things that, you know, Matt and I, as he's mentioned already, we're constantly looking for examples and organizations that sort of tweak our mind. And one of the things that just stood out, your ticker symbol. It's a silly thing. Your US ticker symbol is API, $API, which so we think is very cool, right? But that can't have been an accident, right? So that sort of signaled to me, I don't know if this is really true, but signals that APIs are a pretty important part of Agora. Is that really true? I mean, what's the story behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it wasn't an accident for sure. So our CEO and founder, Tony Zhao, he picked the symbol and he couldn't believe, you know, this is still available. Nobody else had picked it. I think that really reflects our founder's vision for the business since the very beginning. I think when he created Agora back in 2014, most people actually just don't see it. They don't see this is something that you should build an API business around. I mean, they think you probably should go build an app, right? You know, go build Zoom or Skype or whatever, right? So I think that's how most people see it at the time. But he strongly believed that there's a potential of the technology that you can enable so many more use cases and so much more powerful. He wanted to turn it into a platform business. So that was a strong belief at the very beginning and still a strong belief that we hold as a company. So I think that's pretty much, reflected in everything that we do and then reflected in how we operate.
So I think it's really interesting, the whole idea of, you know, envisioning a platform as opposed to let's go build an app. And I'm sure part of the thinking behind that was envisioning, hey, there's probably lots of ways to use this real-time internet vision, right? And for lots of different use cases. So like, what are some of the, I think we could probably all imagine here as we're in the, either in the midst of the pandemic realities or, you know, just coming out of them, we can see how important real-time virtual communication is. And we can probably, you know, everyone thinks about, you know, Zoom and other platforms for and apps for communicating. But like, there must be lots of different use cases where Agora's services come into play. Like, what are some of the more, you know, what are the variety of use cases that your customers are doing?
There are a lot. There's really, I think every day I was just surprised by the kind of use case. Oh, you can use it for that. You can use it for this. And it just a variety of things, you know, from, you know, for example, we have a customer called Prackly, and what they did is a virtual office, allow you to distribute a team to work together as if they're in the same office, right? It's not just video conferencing, you know, because that's very structured, but rather it's very much a kind of a, you know, in virtual environment, allow people to have micro conversations all the time. We have virtual event companies. There's quite a few virtual event companies that from, you know, from very high-end green room production event to very casual meetup style. So any virtual event that you can think of, you know, they actually can use Agora and customize experience for this specific audience, right? The audience might be looking for different things. We have online classroom, for example. Noon Academy is one of the largest edtech company in the Middle East. We also have we also have some company doing really cool things. Like most recently, we have a customer called Tribe XR. They're using VR to create this, you know, training environment for DJ. So how you can mix how you can play with some of the virtual equipment, which is really, really, really cool. I never thought of using Agora's technology for those use cases. So I think really there's really no limit to what's possible. In fact, I think that's one of my biggest learning is that with the current paradigm shift, I think so many companies now focusing on real-time engagement, and there will be so many apps that are created that we've never seen before. Just like I think back in 2008 when Twilio was founded, shortly after that, I think Twilio enabled a lot of mobile apps using mobile messaging. So you see a lot of growth of the companies leveraging this platform. I think what we're seeing now with the paradigm shift to real-time engagement, there will be lots of new class of killer apps that are built using the real-time engagement platform. And there will be apps that we've never seen before.
Wow. That's amazing how, you know, the vision is obviously becoming real. And, you know, we often talk about that, the potential for when companies are able to open up their kind of core capabilities through APIs, you can crowdsource the innovation, start to see your product being used in ways that you never envisioned. But what I'm interested in as well is, like, for some of these ed tech examples or even the DJ one, you know, like these ones that you never thought of, how did they find Agora? How did they discover the services? Because I think this discoverability is this step that's sort of implied in the API space, but it's so important. Like, how did they say, okay, here's the platform that we want to use for our idea?
Yeah, well, I would say most of our customers today discover Agora through word of mouth or some sort of online research. We have a business model that's a freemium based. So we allow a customer to get 10,000 minutes free every month. So you don't have to pay us as long as you're within 10,000 minutes every month. And I think this has proven to be a very effective business model because many of our freemium customers, you know, they may not pay us, but they actually become our advocate because they really love the product, they love the experience, and they tell their friends. And their friends happen to be building the next killer app. And so I think that's really a powerful business model. And I think, you know, I think also at the same time, you got to make sure your experience is great, right? If they don't like it, then obviously that's not the kind of word of mouth you want. So actually also very much focusing on developer experience, making sure that whoever uses the product, even if it's free, we make sure they get the best quality and get the best support. You know, we provide free support to all of those developers using our platform.
Yeah, so you mentioned another thing that, you know, is close to our hearts, and that is this notion of developer experience. Just hearing you talk about, you know, word of mouth, you know, and the next killer app, and people say, you know, I'm using this. So you know, can you share a little bit about, you know, what is the developer experience program? Like, what is it that, do you do anything in particular, or is it more just ingrained in the way, you know, the experience itself? What is DX or developer experience like at Agora?
Well, developer experience, it's really, you know, I think it has to do with, you know, how good your documentation is and how many platforms do you support? Do you make it easy for developers to use your product, regardless of what platform or language they choose to use? And you also had to do with really good developer support and really good sample code. And, you know, so it's easy for them to get started. So our goal is to make sure developers get up and running as quickly as possible. We want to take them from zero to hero as quick as possible. Right? I think that's our ultimate goal for developer experience. And then we have a strong team of developer evangelists. We have a team of engineers. Actually, their core focus is to make sure the developer get the best experience possible.
Cool.
Yeah, and I think, you know, let's face it, we're here on this podcast, Mike and I, talking about APIs all the time. It's APIs unplugged, and clearly the fact that Agora's, you know, we talked about the ticker symbol being API. APIs are fundamental to the platform, but, you know, kind of with the outside in thinking mindset and putting yourself in the developer's shoes, it goes beyond the API probably, right? To in order to really give them that frictionless developer experience. So, you know, beyond just the APIs, are you providing more tools and SDKs and other things that these developers can use? And you know, is that a difficult thing to scale? Like how do you determine what tools to provide developers and maybe kind of how you provide them without sort of impacting the scaling of the business?
Yeah, actually, in our business, providing SDKs is very, very important because we're dealing with a lot of mobile applications. And we're probably the RTE provider that provide the widest SDK support in industry. We support pretty much all the popular platforms that you can think of, not just iOS, Android, Windows, Mac. We also added Unity support 2 years ago. We also added Unreal. So if you're game developers, you know, we got you covered. Oh, and then Cocos, right? So we pretty much will cover all the gaming engines. And we also support all the cross-platform frameworks because we know a lot of developers, actually wanted to use the cross-platform frameworks such as React Native and Flutter. So they can, you know, essentially get the most ROI. And we support all of that. And we actually officially support Aria and Flutter in 2020. Before then, we actually just made that a community SDK, but we officially productized because we're seeing so much interest and just a lot of requests from developers. Like, can you please support that? So, okay. So we did that. And then we're glad that we did because we're seeing so much growth in our developer ecosystem from Flutter particularly, right? Just huge growth, a lot of interest. Just many, many developers are very, I think they just love the platform. So we'll continue to improve that. I think you asked about scaling because it's not easy to support all this platform and make sure they're up to date. And every time you release, you actually update all the SDKs. So we're investing in infrastructure to allow us to do this efficiently. Actually, we're building the common core across all the SDKs, so we can easily test across all the platforms and make sure they're great. Mm-hmm. It's possible. It's something that we've been trying and we've been actually successfully supporting all SDKs in the last few years. So there's one more thing I want to mention. We're seeing this trend or shift in the industry towards no code. We're seeing that creators now, they're the new developers now. They are looking to create solutions and build something themselves without any coding required. That's why we invest in Gore RT App Builder, which is basically a set of no-code tooling that allow anyone to build an application across platform. That's something still in beta right now. So if you're interested, please give it a try and let us know how you like it.
That's awesome. I think what's interesting to me is we're talking about platform being deep in it, and the fact that you've already found that need to expand, kind of widen the tent for who the user base might be, going beyond that core. I mean, you probably have a lot of customers who are hardcore developers, but expanding even to beyond that, really interesting to me.
Yeah. So that, I mean, just hearing you, as Matt said, talk about expanding the base, talk about no code, low code, all these different platforms. We've talked about the scaling. I know when I talk to customers, I tend to warn them that you're really in for this sort of big mushroom when you start this SDK route. You seem to know where to focus on. And that sort of leads me to another question that I ask a lot of API companies, and that's not just developer experience, like what the experience is on the documentation and the tooling itself, but also developer relations, connections, finding the people, knowing, like you said, you could see that some low code or no code demand was there. That's another challenge, right? It's just having the right level of person-to-person support or community support. How do you scale and operate that as well? Because again, you're across all sorts of these platforms. The developer relations must be another challenge that you have to meet as well.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Because you do need a developer evangelist or advocate for that specific platform, right? So there's you can't just have one developer evangelist cover all the platforms. It doesn't work that way. So we do have a scale challenge. However, I think the developer relations function is also, I think, evolving, right? I think they used to be role warrior. They travel to all the different mm-hmm. events and they do hackathons. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of all the events that they go to, but now I think especially with the COVID, we just can't travel anymore. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the evangelism activity or developer relations activity as it shifted to online, and actually that allows us to scale better than before. Because as always, our developer base is going to grow faster than we can actually grow our team and can outgrow how fast we can grow our local offices, right? And so we actually fortunately have built a global online community on Slack that our developers are interact with each other and also interact with the Agora developer advocates. It's a really great way to support our customers. In fact, I think a lot of developers prefer it that way. And they're also helping each other. It's not just our advocate actually moderating the forum, but a lot of community members are very active and helping each other. So we really see the community is forming in this online forum. And so our job is just to make sure we actually just nurture that and give people great experience on the forum. And also our developer advocate, and they will just build lots of useful resources and tools. For example, and they build a lot of tutorials, how-to guide, and toolkits to help developers get up and running quickly. I think that's really most of the developers are looking for are those resources. So I think through this online evangelism, through building resources, through building community, we actually can scale our business pretty well across the globe.
Wow. Yeah. And it sounds like the community platform kind of mimics the product platform, right? It's a lot of the same ingredients in terms of getting momentum up, getting the critical mass of developers to the point where they're they can achieve a level of self-sufficiency. I think it's really interesting talking about all the use cases that are out there, even for the platform as it exists today. And you also talked about some variety and diversity in the types of consumers and customers you're getting, with developers and now leading into creators who may not be writing code. Is it really, do you think that the strategy is about scaling out the services that are already in place? Or do you see sort of some obvious points of extension for that special, that unique value proposition around the real-time internet? Are there new products to come, do you think? Or is it more about scaling up the business with the products that are already in place?
I think it's going to be both. We are scaling the services we have in place, and we still have a lot of regions that we haven't covered yet. So I think that's ongoing effort. But meanwhile, we are going to launch new products and new services. I think if we think about the engagement modality, we're seeing the channel size getting larger and larger, right? So most people are familiar with the one-to-one chat or small group chat, but right now we're seeing a lot of technology being used in those really large audience engagement. For example, actually one of our customer TVU network brought Grammy, the premiere ceremony, to 12 million people using our technology. Actually you've seen on the news that those big shows like Grammy or Oscar, the viewership on TV is all time low, right? People just don't view them on TV anymore. But instead, people want engagement. So actually, interestingly, as those TV viewership go into all-time low, you're seeing those interactive sessions actually getting all-time high. So really, I think the consumer really prefer the interactivity, the engagement, and that's what the technology really enabled them to do. So we're going to see more and more of those use cases, and that they're coming from very large channel. They're traditionally being served by CDN providers. I think that's one, new market for us and a new product category for us. In addition, we're also going to see more use case on new devices. Now, when we think about our technology being ubiquitous, we really mean everywhere, right? Not just on mobile phone or desktop or website, which is the usual suspect in terms of the target devices for these experiences. But what about IoT device? What about HDMD? What about appliances? What about your refrigerator or your TV, right? And you, all you need to do is put a camera, right? Or microphone or whatever. You just need a sensor to allow you to capture the voice or capture the video. And then here you go. You got a new real-time engagement experiences. So we're actually working with all of that, all of those new devices, trying to bring the real-time engagement experiences through those new devices to net new set of users. In fact, we actually have a very exciting OEM partnership coming up in the coming month. So stay tuned for that. It's very exciting things that we're doing with OEM makers.
Wow. There's so much going on. There's so many avenues. There's so many possibilities. It's very exciting, actually, to think about what you were just talking about, the riding the wave of what's changing about real-time media in general, from television to multi-engagement platforms to brand new devices, things that we hadn't even thought of yet. So the next question for me is, so what's the best place for people to learn more about Agora and about the developer opportunities? And let's do a little plug for, like, if somebody out there has got sort of the next great thing that they want to build, where do they go? How do they get started with the Agora platform?
Well, the best place to learn more about Agora will be on our website, agora.io, and from there you can find our Twitter and LinkedIn profile and follow us. Now meanwhile, hit me up on LinkedIn, Virginia Liu, and I'll be happy to answer any questions and help anyone who want to build an application using Agora.
Thanks so much, Virginia. I think there was something you said earlier that it was one of those great, and we've had a few of these on episodes, but were one of those things that just kind of blew my preconceptions. You just said it matter-of-factly, right? We're on the internet, and the internet wasn't built for real-time communication. And I thought, yeah, That's right. This is a platform that was built for, you know, academic document sharing kind of originally. Yes. Yep. That has been, you know, molded over time into being used for all these things. So that's pretty intuitive. And I think, like you said, societal shifts now, you know, using the Oscars as a benchmark or award shows as a benchmark of the way consumers engage. It's absolutely true. I think that, you know, the more we can get people away from hating on Twitter during award show season, and actually channeling things in a more constructive way, that's good for all of us. But yeah, wow. I think that, you know, the possibilities, I no doubt the pandemic has accelerated the urgency around real-time engagement. And as you were talking about IoT and different devices, I was just thinking about companies like Peloton, who are, you know, building essentially platforms in different contexts. And again, it's about real-time engagement is kind of the secret ingredient there. So I imagine that Agora is not only has its own secret ingredient, but maybe the secret ingredient in a lot of these real-time engagement apps that everybody knows and are getting to know more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks again, Virginia, for joining us. I learned a lot. Yep. Thanks, as always, Mike.
Absolutely. I had a great time. Thank you very much, Virginia.
Thank you both.
Thank you to our listeners. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we look forward to bringing you the next episode of APIs Unplugged. Bye for now.